You ever hear people say that you need to have thicker skin? What does that mean, that you need to have thicker skin? It means you need to be able not to let anything easily affect your attitude, your behavior, your thinking, your spirit in a negative way. In that respect, having a thick skin is a good thing. Having thick skin takes training and the exercise of the power that you were given, the Holy Spirit. Growth of the Holy Spirit within you determines how abundant your life is to you. Because Christ didn't just come to give you eternal life, if that's not enough, right? He came to give you life abundantly, more abundantly. And having thicker skin actually helps you have that. Now, you know, the very first thing we have as part of our faith is our belief, right? We believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's step one. Because we know it's step one because James tells us, you believe there is one God, you do well. See, that's a good start. But even the demons believe and tremble. We've heard that, right? He says, if faith works without action, dead. Now, the demons believed that Jesus is the Son of God. In a sense, they have dead faith. They once believed. They were angels. They saw their creator in action in the universe. You see your creator in action in the universe as well, in action in your life as well. So how do you differ than the demons? What else do you believe? What else do you do? One of the things that we believe is that God is going to give us, the church, the very body of his Son, Jesus Christ, everything, 100%. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about that in terms of the two trees. 100%. However, in order to receive that, and in order to receive everything, including eternal life in the family of God, we need to die. For life, we need death. Death to the flesh, to the skin. We're going to talk about thick skin today. Death to that carnal way. Death to our way and live for God's way. To bury our ego, our I. There's the I there. There's the I, the me. To bury that, to keep him buried, because that old man died, right? And to have Christ's spirit, which is a different kind of I, which is that. That's the I am. So you're trading an I for an I am, the ever-present, Jesus Christ. So the old life is over, and the words of Paul, that was rubbish. That was garbage. The old life. And he was up and coming, and he was trained by so-and-so. He was doing well. That was all rubbish to him. Nonsense. Old man. Done. Paul wasn't the only one to say that. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, but we are all of us, right, like an unclean thing. All our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind, they've taken us away. See, we talk about putting to death our ego, right? But the truth is, we're already dead. We're already dead in our sins. People walk around like they have immortal souls because they still believe in the immortal soul. Satan's lie. You won't die. You won't surely die, but you do lie because God is the truth teller here. So rather than die in our sins, however, we choose with our ego intact, right? Because we'll die with our ego right there. But we're willing to kill that ego in order to live in the spirit of I am. That's true strength. And that's the key for a thick skin. Because thick skin is not weak flesh. Okay? So you reach a stage, a level in your Christian growth beyond just belief, beyond believing he's the Son of God, right? Because otherwise you wouldn't be here on the Sabbath. So that's a good another step. You're growing in grace, knowledge, and strength. So let's begin training here. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. A lot of people don't even know what that means these days because we don't teach it. Virtue means uncommon and excellent character. Uncommon. Again, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about those two trees. When you choose to eat from the tree of life, you choose to seek the very character and the virtue of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what you're seeking there. Your character, if your character is common, if you have common character, right? It's not virtuous. Most characters in the world are very common. Common sense is prevalent, right? Common knowledge, prevalent. Because these people have been raised to eat from a tree that mixes good and evil. That's common. That's unclean, like Isaiah said, right? Most people don't see that. But now you seek virtue, the virtue of Jesus Christ himself, your character becomes less common now that you're starting to eat cleanly from that tree of life. So you're on a different level. Now your uncommon character, that character might even start to be attacked, right? Because it's strange and it's foreign to people. They'll be suspect of it. But you have to stay strong, you keep your spirit, right? They'll begin to understand that this character, although strange, is actually pleasant. Now, when you're at this stage and you just started eating, you're still very hungry, right? But you've been used to some of that junk food, maybe from that other tree. And maybe inadvertently, maybe not, you've got stuff in your face from that other tree stuff, right? A little two-faced, a little hypocritical. So the question is, how easily can you be pulled out of your new virtuous character? How easily can you be tempted with that junk food? And maybe people will spot that and say, ah, look at that hypocrite. And that makes it even tougher on you, right? Because you're trying, and then you mess up. And then the people are there while you're down, they're kicking you, right? Because you're a hypocrite, blah, blah, blah. So how easy are you going to jump out of your skin? We're talking about thick skin, right? How easy are you going to jump out of your skin, out of the character that you seek? That's the question. So this is about trying to understand that. Let's keep reading here with spiritual understanding. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Now remember the two trees. Both trees will bring you knowledge. Most people don't realize that. One is a tree of knowledge that mixes good and evil, causing sin, you know, experiencing sin, destruction and death. The other is a tree of knowledge of God's way, of giving, of abundance. That's what we're talking about, life. So you seek virtue, and therefore you eat for true knowledge. Right? So now this is the other step. Unfortunately, some people get stuck here at this level, right? Some people love that knowledge, and some people eat from that tree, and all they think about is the knowledge. All they think about is, oh, wait, I think I know who the 10 tribes are. I think, oh, what, where, the beast, you know, when is the beast? And they're tossed about by every wind of doctrine, right? And then they start eating junk again. They start eating the junk again. Because step one is that virtue is the character. Okay, that's the one you got to focus on. Now, sometimes the knowledge is good, but then you get a little legalistic there. You get a little Pharisaical there where you're thinking you're just going to do the actions. Hey, I go to Sabbath. You know, I'm there every Saturday. You know, you're going to earn yourself an entrance into the kingdom. Your actions are there, but where's your heart? Where is your heart? Where is your mind at? Are you converted in your thinking behind those actions? Because maybe you're there, but your attitude stinks. Your attitude stinks. And God knows the heart and knows the mind. So where are you at? You can't fool God, right? So what does true spiritual knowledge do for you in the context of thick skin, right? You come to understand that you basically know nothing compared to God. Basically, almost very little. And therefore, because God knows your heart and your mind, you come to understand that you don't know enough about other people's motivations. Other people's motivations. Why did he say that to me? You don't know, why is he acting that way? You don't know what's behind, what's going on in the other person's life and the other person's mind and the other person's thinking. Only God knows. Only God knows that. So, with understanding of that, okay, you start to become a little more tolerant of statements that are made at you, that maybe aren't made with ill intent. So you're like, whatever. In the past, you could have been like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But now you're like, You're letting it go. You're even now understanding how to defuse potential hand grenades intentionally thrown at you. Oh, look at this. Boom. They throw that at you. And you know how to defuse it. You're like, you know what? That person doesn't even understand what he's doing. Okay? But you have understanding. You have spiritual knowledge. So then what? What comes next? Verse 6. To knowledge, self-control. You start to check yourself. Right? You know that phrase? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Right? Check yourself. Self-control. God's Spirit strengthens you to check your literal self, your ego, that I. Keep them down there, right? Keep them buried. And that's done in various ways. Through a conscience now that convicts you. You ever hear that term? Right? When you convict someone, you find them guilty. Your spiritual conscience will convict you before even a crime is committed. It's like one of those sci-fi thrillers, those kickbacks. Convict you right there before the crime is even done, before the sin is committed. It should anyway, because if it doesn't do that, then you got to go to step one again. Seek ye first the kingdom and the virtue of the king, the character, the virtue. Okay? You got to go back to step one. So now you've learned a little bit of self-control, right? What comes next in verse 6? To self-control, perseverance. That means just not just one time, two times. That means for the rest of your life, it's now about continued self-control or ego control, right? Maintaining control is a lot harder, much harder. It's a lifetime process. Paul describes it as a race you run your whole life. It's an endurance test for your heart and for your mind. And the question is, can you pass it? Can you pass that test? With the power of Christ, with the I am inside you, rather than yourself with the I, you can. You can. But it means you out and Christ in. Over and over and over again. Every situation. So that I am is permanently there. Can't be moved. Okay? We could talk about it till we're blue in the face, but this is a phase that a lot of people will get stuck in because the devil loves to challenge you here, because that loves to challenge your endurance. As soon as a challenge comes along, some people, and maybe you've been good for a long time, but some people will have to kick that Holy Spirit out because they can't take it anymore and let that I come back in and manifest. It says, what'd you say to me? What? What did he just say to me? Well, you're a so-and-so. And then here comes the sword coming out. You just wielded a sword. And I'm slashing and burning, ready to defend and slash. Well, you're a this and that, maybe even ready to throw hands at people, lift up hands at people. Ready to pull the proverbial trigger, right? Armed to the teeth, so to speak, and those teeth are gnashed. What? And from a Christian. But you got to continually check yourself. This is a training. Even though, people already do that, even though your mentor, your king tells you, vengeance is mine, right? He tells you, turn the other cheek. You could only do that with thick skin. Can't do that without it. But people are like, I got this. See you later, Holy Spirit. I got this. The eyes have it, right? In this world, the eyes have it. It's extremely easy to come out of character, come out of Christ, come out of your face, which should be a reflection of Christ, so that you see him face to face when you're finally there at perfection. You come out of your Christianity. And so what happens? So you run in vain. It's not perseverance anymore. You're not running that race for endurance. You've run in vain. Paul warns against that. That's what Satan wants you to do. Consistency, endurance, means you reach another level, another stage of your growth, of your faith. Where are you? You have to honestly evaluate yourself. Pray to God to reveal your own ego to you, your I. God, please reveal that to me so that the I am could crush it to pieces. Please. That's what you should be praying. Crush it to pieces with the truth. Let's keep going. To perseverance, godliness. What does that mean? That's Eusebia. That means piety. We don't know what that word means anymore. Nobody uses that word, right? Piety. What is piety? It means it's like an awesome, and everybody uses that term anymore, it loses its meaning. It means awesome reverence respect towards God, that people see evidence in your actions. It's a reverence towards God because you love God so much. See, when you're consistent, you're perseverance, and you're enduring, you develop a deep, profound, it's a profound appreciation, love and awe for majesty and power, right? Because you see how powerful God is. At the same time, his unbelievable mercy of the Creator, who wields his power so selflessly. He is selfless in how he controls the power. But we're so full of ourselves, full of rubbish. So quick to exercise power as soon as we have it, to correct, to be unforgiving, to be merciless, right? And yet God, with all that power is merciful. So when you reach this stage, you're learning to delight in his food, in his ways, in his law, and respecting his power, especially his mercy with that power. The more you know him, the more in awe you are. And you develop a special kind of thick skin you didn't even know you were developing. Because we ourselves become merciful. We ourselves become merciful. And those, even when they're yapping their mouths around us, saying this and that, all we see is mercy for somebody who's just like a captive, a slave to that thinking. Right? We become merciful to that. It's transformed our exterior. And our exterior, listen, I'm not talking about a skin, a tough, cold skin like a reptile, like a dragon, like Satan that has no feelings. No, Christ had compassion for people. Over and over in the New Testament, you read about his compassion towards people. I'm talking about warm-blooded, merciful, thick skin. Warm-blooded. Our skin becomes rough, right? Like hands that become rough when you're working hard. You're working hard in the vineyard of your God. Okay, you're working hard. Your hands are rough. And our skin becomes tougher to bruise. Why is that? When you have no ego, you have no ego to bruise. Right? The devil can't bruise our ego if we don't have it. He can't injure a foolish pride if we don't have it. He can't injure it. Being humble and being meek. People think meek as weak. Meek is not weak. It means submissive, dutiful, modest, even timid. People are afraid of that word. It's so difficult for people to understand that. Remember, meek will inherit the earth. I don't know what you're trying to inherit, but the meek will inherit the earth. Go to Paul. Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Look at what he says. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It's not just Paul. It's Christ. Meekness and gentleness. The two masters that we're learning from here, one who wrote this, the other one who gave him the Spirit to write this, right? Who in presence and lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you, I beg you, see, he's not afraid to use that term. I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence, which I intend to be bold against some. So he's going to be bold against some, you know, not these people he's talking to, but to those who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For we walk, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Some people are so ready to war, right? To be armed, to be whatever it is, whether physically, verbally. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not this skin, are not physical swords. But yet, look at that. He first started off with talking about meekness and weakness. But yet, mighty, mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, the knowledge of God is from that tree of life, right? Not that other knowledge about those swords and the skin in this world. The knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, where's your mind at? Remember we were talking about a couple weeks ago, the trees, where's your mind at? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Write this down if you have to. In order to fight like a master, you need to obey like a master. Okay, Jesus Christ obeyed his father in everything, never ate from that tree. You need to obey like a master if you're going to fight like the master. It says here, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Punish disobedience by being obedient. This is on a level that most don't understand, I'll tell you right now. Most do not understand this. Let's go back to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, because this is what we're, 2 Peter 1 is what we're really reading here. 2 Peter 1, verse 7. We're going to add to godliness now, that reverence we talked about, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is, here's the term, that Philadelphia term, that kindness like you were dealing with family. Not just for your brethren, because a lot of people say, well, this just means love for your brethren, for your Christians. No, it's love like a brother. It's love like you're loving your brother, like you're loving family. And then right after this, this kind of kindness very quickly becomes agape love, which is the verse 7. And to brotherly kindness, love. So why does it end with love right here? Because it ends here with love. Because God is love, right? Because it begins and ends in love, the Alpha and Omega is love. Nothing but love, all good, no shadow of turning, 100% life and abundant life. At this level of love, we pray for and even love our enemies. Seeing them again, as we said, as captives. And we also see them as what? As potential children of God. As potential children of God. We're at a level now that we just don't exist. Only God could love in that manner. Only God could love in that manner. God has to rule in your heart and in your mind. He has to be the ruler. He has to be the king. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But when you get to this point, when you're praying for and loving your enemies, you've gotten there. Sacrificial love for others when they're not lovable. Not even that they don't seem worthy because we weren't. You've reached the level that God wants you to be while in this skin. Wow. While in this tent. While in this temple. If your vision for the best self you can be is always somewhere off in the distance, oh yeah, I'll get there. That's somewhere out there. Be careful. What level are you right now? Because I am is the present tense. It's always right here, right now. Where are you right now? Because he wants you to be as he is in this world. Not even in just the kingdom of God. In this world, he wants you to be as he is. Let's read that. Let's read that and what this level of pure love is. John 4, verse 17. I'm almost done. 1 John 4, verse 17. When we reach this level of love. Love has been perfected among us in this. See, this is what it means. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Remember what James said? See, we're not shaking in the day of judgments. Because what? Because the demons tremble. We don't tremble. We run into the open arms of our loving Father. Okay? It says, there is no fear in love. Okay, before then. Because as he is, so are we in this world. See that? Right here, right now, the present tense, the I am. So are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but love casts out fear because fear involves torment. You want to talk about thick skin? Are you tormented because somebody didn't treat you right? Are you tormented by that? Then why is your thick so skin? Why is your skin so thin? Right? Skin so thin. Why are you tormented? Seriously, if you're tormented by somebody saying something about you, yourself is supposed to already be dead. Yourself, your eyes, supposed to already be dead. You count it all joy. Use your Christian spirit of understanding. Some people are even in fear before anything is done to them. They're anticipating a fight, you know. They get themselves worked up in their imagination, and that's torture. There's no fear when love is present. That's torture. You're torturing yourself. You still don't have the knowledge that your value does not come from yourself. It comes from Christ. And so what are they up in arms? They're literally up in arms to defend. They're throwing up defenses when we read they should be tearing down strongholds. Tearing down strongholds. Your job as a Christian is to unarm them. Have people find rest and peace and Sabbath and Christ within you, and also have help to define that in them as well. Because Christ should be in them as well. The I am in them. Be a tree, right? Let them take from your fruit, because if you should be bearing fruit, have them take from you. And you know what? If they start hitting you, they start beating on you, you know what? They might just hurt themselves, because you're a tree and your skin is like bark. They're going to be hurting themselves. And you just unarm them with the love of Jesus Christ. In a twist on this, we don't live and thus die by the carnal sword, right? By the worldly sword. We die first, and then we live by the sword, by the word of God, okay? By Jesus Christ. You got to understand what that means. Everything is a lot. We continue here. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first. We were conceived in love by the mind of love. Okay? Where is your mind at? Remember God to Cain? Why are you angry? What are you upset about? Remember Jesus Christ says, even if you're angry with your brother, read verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, this is a commandment now, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Period. There are some who don't love their brother. They might say they do, but their mind and their heart betrays them. That's the hardest part, the new covenant. Of the new covenant, that's the hardest part. And that's not just a shame, that's a sin. A deadly sin. So we finish up in Peter 2, Peter 1. Let's finish up right there, verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, right? It's growing, like your faith. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That remind you of a tree, right? Are you a tree of life? Or are you barren? Or do you bear good fruit? Verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. See, you're going to be like those demons who return to blindness. But your eyes are not open to the knowledge, the truth. Remember, they wanted their eyes to be open, but your eyes could be open from another tree too. Even to blindness. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. If all you can see in your life is hurt and potential hurt that people are doing or have done or whatever it is towards you, if that's all you can see, then you've forgotten something. You've forgotten that you were bought at a price. You belong to Christ, and that by his stripes, you were healed. Why are you hurting? You were healed. And you were forgiven. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, and I'm going to emphasize that you, if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An abundant open door for you. Come on in. God will provide that to you. And at that point, you'll trade in even your thicker skin, you'll trade it in for a glorified spirit body. Right? And then what is your task after that? Kings and priests, you're teaching others here on earth how to be a tree and how to have that thick skin. Right? Like a bark. A bark-like thick skin of a tree.